When Reb Chaim entered the lobby, he was immediately accosted by his friendly KGB agent.
Merkanskaya, come with me this second. Right now, into conference room.
Reb Chaim walked back to the conference room together with the KGB agent. The KGB agent opened the door and pushed Reb Chaim in ahead of him.
Merkanskaya, I have a few questions for you.
As soon as the door slammed, however, he became much more friendly again.
I'm very sorry about what happened back there. There was nothing I could do. What happened was yesterday, KGB captured your friend Felix. They followed him over the last few days, so they knew that you were meeting with him at that house. Now, I couldn't prevent them, but I tried my best to get there before so I could warn you.
That is so special of you because I know you're risking everything in order to help us. It really, really means a lot. But by the way, tomorrow morning I'm heading back to America. Once I'm there, I'm going to do everything I could to get Felix freed from the KGB.
I hope you have a safe trip. But a little word of advice. Probably a very bad idea for you to come to Russia again.
I'm going to take that advice very to heart.
Early the next morning, while it was still dark outside, Vladimir pulled up outside Reb Chaim's hotel. Reb Chaim threw his suitcases into the trunk and jumped into the car. Vladimir took off with his customary speed. Sure enough, they were being followed by KGB cars. Reb Chaim watched them through the back window anxiously. He turned around to Vladimir.
Vladimir, I'm completely out of ways to outsmart the KGB. What are we gonna do? We have to get away from them somehow.
But when he turned around one more time to look out the back window, it appeared as if the KGB cars were slowing down.
Vladimir, take a look.
How do you expect me to look? You think so I have a rearview mirror?
Maybe it's a newer car, you never know.
Guess what? I have one! Hey, look at this! What happened with the KGB cars?
Well, I don't know, but they're slowing down. Hey, they're not even driving anymore.
Okay, looks like we now have a free ride to the airport. No more problem with the KGB.
What Reb Chaim and Vladimir had no way of possibly knowing was that Reb Chaim's friendly KGB agent had booby-trapped the KGB cars. He had put nails into the tires, so when they started driving, the ear began seeping out until there was nothing left in the tires. Vladimir did his best race car driver imitation, and they were at the airport only 10 minutes later. Reb Chaim grabbed his suitcases and walked into the terminal. Only a short while later, he was sitting once again on an Air Moscow plane on his way home. The next day, Reb Chaim arrived back in Kennedy Airport. Rabbi Goldberg was waiting to greet him.
Reb Chaim, Shalom Aleichem! Baruch Hashem, you're back safely!
Rabbi Goldberg, I decided I want to become frum. I want a beard. I want tzitzis.
Reb Chaim, you already have those things.
Oh, that's right. I almost forgot. So what was it that I wanted this time? Oh yeah, I know what I want this time. This time, I want to spend much, much more time learning Torah. After all, those Jews in Russia, they're learning under such difficult, extreme circumstances. And not just that, but they cherish every moment because they know how difficult it is and how precious it is. What about us here in America? We could learn anytime we want. We could learn anywhere we want. So it's easy for us, so we don't appreciate the opportunity.
Reb Chaim, I could not agree more. As a matter of fact, I'll be ready for you tomorrow at 5 o'clock in the morning in the Beis Medrash. We're going to learn Ezu Neshech with all the Rishonim and the Achronim. We're going to learn the Rambam and the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch together with all the Noisei Kelim, and it's going to be gewaldig. We're going to steig yoim and v'leilo. I cannot wait.
Rabbi, just a second. I almost forgot something extremely, extremely important. While I was in Russia, I met this really amazing young man named Felix, and he was captured by the KGB, and I really think that I have a plan that could help to save him.
Reb Chaim, what did you have in mind?
Well, I thought we could get children all across the country to write letters to their congressmen and to their senators, and they could put pressure on President Reagan to try to put pressure on Premier Gorbachev, and then you never know.
Reb Chaim, that sounds a little bit ambitious, but who knows? Maybe it will be successful.
The very next day, Reb Chaim began a small effort that turned into a nationwide program to try to save Felix. Thousands and thousands of Yidden all across America eventually wrote letters to their congressmen and senators. Eventually, even President Reagan himself got involved by calling Premier Gorbachev. And within a few weeks, Felix was freed. Reb Chaim was true to his word and began an early morning learning seder with Rabbi Goldberg. He also intensified the rest of his learning schedule, trying to find any opportunities where he could learn a little more. A few years later, Reb Chaim was sitting and learning with Rabbi Goldberg when the doorbell rang. Reb Chaim got up to answer the door, and to his great shock, standing before him were Felix, Yuri, Mikhail, and the rest of the Ganze Chevra.
I don't believe it. What are you doing here?
Rabbi, we have all gotten permission to leave Russia.
This is unbelievable. Why don't you come join us? We're in the middle of learning.
And hardly missing a beat, Reb Chaim continued learning together with Rabbi Goldberg and his friends from Russia.
So it comes out that according to Rabbi Chanan's understanding of the Ketzos HaChayshen, Yuri, take a close look at Rabbi Chanan's words right here. Inside, see for yourself.
Over the next few years, Reb Chaim found himself invited to yeshivas all across the country to give words of encouragement about strengthening oneself in Torah learning.
And so you see, my dear children, if those Jews were able to learn under the most incredibly, incredibly difficult circumstances, how much more so should we, right here in America, when we have the luxury of being able to learn whenever we want, in the most beautiful Bate Midrashim, with all the svarim and air conditioning, and heating in the winter, shouldn't we strengthen ourselves to learn better and better and better?
He sits late at night in the soft candlelight as it casts its warm glow on the pages. And the words that he sees are the secret, the key that has kept us alive through the ages. Why does he cherish the wisdom of old and delight in its study each day? He knows only Torah can nourish his soul. Come listen and hear what he says.
Was meint bei Schamai, Rava Chavas, hast du nicht wie Abaye.